This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. It's great to be with you. We are starting today a new series of table talks called Truth and Practice for Today. Let me repeat that title, Truth and Practice for Today. Now, that assumes that we believe that there is truth and a practice or a manner of life that is in harmony with what God is doing today, and that's what we will be discussing in these coming programs. Essentially, what we'll be doing is discussing Paul's last seven letters over the next number of months, or however long it takes us. Now, we have in our radio programs been showing that the dispensational dividing line is not Acts 2, 9, or 13, but Acts 28. And we're going to take that position for granted in these following studies. We will be undertaking an exposition to the very best of my limited ability, so please search the scriptures and see and even improve upon anything I have discussed in these programs. So we're going to be undertaking the letters that are truth for today. And remember also this, people get very critical when I give talks. They always say, well, Dan, you didn't mention this, and Dan, you didn't mention that. And my response is, of course I didn't. I don't mention everything. I don't consider myself able to mention everything, and we also do have limited time. So if there are things you think I've omitted, just let me know, and we'll try to get them in future programs. Now, I pointed out that the letters of Paul fall into two groups. First, there are those that are written in connection with the 12 apostles, and these letters are written during the Acts period where Paul was proclaiming the hope of Israel. Second, we see the letters that were written after the setting aside of Israel, when Israel and their hope was set aside. Now let's paint a picture here. Imagine, if you will, that you are a Gentile who lived during the Acts period. You were a heathen. You bowed before Diana or whatever other idol you can think of. And then you heard Paul preach, and you became convinced that there is only one true God, and this God was Israel's God. You also believed in God's Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. You were told that this God was the God of Israel, and the Lord Jesus was Israel's Messiah, and you believed in their Messiah and their coming kingdom. You believed it and recognized the role that Israel had to play in God's future. And you were happy simply to be grafted into the good olive tree. You realized that you as a Gentile were included in the good olive tree in order to provoke Israel to jealousy so that they would repent. You recognized that Israel had a priority and you happily submitted to it as a Gentile. To the Jew first was the order of the day. You hoped in Israel's hope. You even prayed that God's people would repent so that their hope could be realized. You knew that you would have a blessed place in the coming kingdom when Messiah returned. Signs were abounding around you, miracles, healing, and tongues. Paul encouraged you to stay single if you were single because the time was short. The Lord Jesus could come at any time when Israel repented. You expected to be alive when the Lord returned at the parousia, commonly called the second coming. It was an exciting time. However, Israel does not repent. They rejected the ministry of Paul. And you as a Gentile hear that Paul closed the door on the nation of Israel when he was in Rome. Now what? What do you do now? What about the hope we had at this point? If Israel is set aside, so is the hope of Israel. Then you hear Paul's letter to the Ephesians. You see that God had a secret hidden away from the ages and generations and hidden in God. God reserved the greatest blessings, the best hope for this time. And this is where Ephesians comes in. Paul is no longer bound for the hope of Israel, but he is in prison for you, the Gentiles. He opens up from a Roman prison the new hope of our calling. No longer are you grafted into the good olive tree, and no longer is the Jew first. And this new hope is a hope where the Jew and Gentile are equal. You as a Gentile are not joining an already existing body of Jews, but you are made part of something completely new. No longer is your hope the parousia, the second coming to earth, but the scene shifts from this earth where Christ has been rejected to the heavenly places where he is now received. And your hope is now a hope to be with Christ among the celestial regions. But we're anticipating too many details right now. We'll get to these details as we go through Paul's letters. I just wanted to give you an overview of how a Gentile would feel at this time, what the context was. The ABCs of the dispensation of the mystery, that is, truth for today, is Ephesians, and we can divide up the letter very simply. Chapters 1 through 3 are the teaching for today, and chapters 4 to 6 are how we live in view of that teaching. This letter is balanced by the word worthy. In Ephesians 4:1, Paul tells us to walk worthy of our calling. Chapters 1 through 3 is the calling, and chapters 4 through 6 is the walk. The word worthy is from a word that is used to describe the balance beam on a scale. In the Old Testament, when Abraham weighed out the silver when buying the grave plot in Genesis 23, they used this balance. On one side of the balance would be a certain amount of weight. The weight would equal the worth of the land. The balance would be tilted toward the weight. When Abraham put the silver on the other side of the scale, the balance beam would equal out when the silver was equal weight with the worth of the land. Does that make sense? So Paul is saying the teaching of Ephesians 1 through 3 is on one side of the scale, and our walk, Ephesians 4 through 6, should balance out the teaching. That means to walk worthy. The balance beam on the top of the scale is across evenly. Now, this is not impossible to walk worthy. Some people think it's an impossible goal. But the problem is we've set up human standards of what it means to walk worthy. Because of not rightly dividing the word of truth, we have made the walk some very mystical thing. We imagine that in order to walk worthy, we must preach, teach, organize evangelistic campaigns, be at church 4 nights a week and Saturday mornings, perform miracles, walk on water, and all kinds of other religious activities. But when Paul talks about walking worthy, he says walk in humility, walk in love, and he talks about the home and relationships between family members. There is no mystical walk. It is a commonplace everyday occurrence. What Paul will tell us, in essence, is that we carry the aura of the grace in Ephesians 1 through 3 into our daily lives. A believer does not cease to be a human being. He does not cease to do human activities. He does not cease to go to work and pay his bills. We still wash dishes. We still go to work. We still pay our bills. We still send emails, text messages, and chew steak the same way we did before. We will just do it while all the while recognizing who we are in Christ and what our future hope is. But again, we are anticipating too many details here. We'll get to that when we study Ephesians 4 through 6. Now let us look at the first two verses of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we see here in this letter is the name Paul. Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He is one of the apostles chosen by Christ after his ascension, and thus he's an apostle of this new dispensation. And he is writing to the saints. A saint is one who is set apart to God, and they are also faithful. Now, some say this word faithful should be translated believers. Now, it is true that these saints in Ephesus were saints, that is, they became believers. They became saints when Paul came among them in Acts. They believed Paul's message during Acts. And it is also true that these Ephesians were also believers in Christ Jesus. Now, that means that they embraced God's latest revelation after Israel was set aside. But this word is also translated faithful in many places. In Ephesians 6:21, it is translated faithful. Ephesians is truth for mature adults. So I do not want to dump the idea of faithfulness. That's a word that's not popular today. There are many today who are believers, but are they faithful to what they believe? If you are a believer, you will organize your life around what you believe. It will change who you are, and that is being faithful. And then we have the salutation in verse 2, grace and peace. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Holy Spirit is not mentioned. Now, why is that? Now, let you chew on that one for a while. Grace and peace is the atmosphere in which we live. Now, let us look at the first section of Ephesians. The first section is verses 3 through 14. And this section is the charter of the body of Christ. It is the foundation of the dispensation of the mystery. We can divide up this section by the words praise and glory. In verse 6, we see praise and glory. Verse 12, we see praise and glory, and in verse 14, we see praise and glory. This is the divine division in this section. Verses 3 to 6 present the Father's purpose where he reveals the heirs and their allotment. There is no mention of sin and redemption in this section, but the Father's purpose before the foundation of the world. And in verses 7 through 12, we read about the mystery of God's will. It's the work of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is redemption. And in verses 13 to 14, we have the seal of the Spirit. So we have the Father's purpose in verses 3 to 6, we have the Son's work to bring about that purpose in verses 7 through 12, and we have the Spirit's seal as a guarantee of it all in verses 13 and 14. And notice how each section ends with praise and glory. Praise means to applause God for the marvelous things he's done for us. Now until next time, read this section over and over and say with Paul, "Blessed be God who has blessed us." This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com.